Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's great to be here with you guys. Happy Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there. Hope you guys are having a very, very good day, a fantastic day. Want to share something with you. I did kind of like a I did a little social experiment today here at Entercom Greenville. Okay, so I'm walking around the building, and we have a salesperson here named Kristen McCrory, right? Do you know Kristen, Lonzo?
If I say no, it looks really bad. Yeah. I know who she is.
Do you really know who she is?
I do know who
okay.
she is.
Kristen McCrory, she's just fun salesperson, right? She's fun. Every time I talk to her, we're joking around. And I said to her this morning, I said, what do you think about, what if I just like randomly around the office today said happy Valentine's Day to five dudes, right? But like just as an experiment, right? And just to do it, because you're not supposed to do it, right? It feels it just feels incredibly awkward to say happy Valentine's Day to dudes.
I gotta point something out. He didn't say it to me. I just wanna say that, and because I would have opened my arms and say bring it in, man. That's what I would have done.
Oh, really?
Bring it in.
Yeah,
man.
No, that's why I didn't say it to you, Lonzo. I don't want to ever bring it in with you. Okay, that's not where I want to go.
A good cuddle before we go on
that's
the
not,
air.
That's
awesome.
Not where I want to go with this working relationship, Lonzo. So anyway, today here at Entercom Greenville, I said Happy Valentine's Day to five dudes individually. I went up to five guys individually, and I said, "Hey, I'd really like to wish you a Happy Valentine's Day. How you doing? Happy Valentine's Day." And I said that way to five guys in the building, okay? Now, Lonzo, you're shaking your head. What you don't know...
I wish I could have been there. That's why I was shaking my head.
What you don't know is the reaction to those five Valentine's Day wishes. So, let me ask you this, Lonzo. I'm the new guy here. Everyone, you know, everyone's nice to the new guy, typically, right? And I'm going around, and I wish one of them would have been our main boss, which is Steve Sinacropi, and I would have done it to him as well. You don't think I would have had the guts to do that, but I would have, you know. Patrick Brown is in the back here shaking his head. I absolutely would have done it, Patrick.
I was going to say, the Sinacropi is one of those short guys you're talking about, right?
No.
Eventually?
No.
Okay.
Those are your words, okay? I like this thing called a job. I'm going to keep rolling, okay? So anyway, I said it to five guys. Lonzo, give me the breakdown of the kind of responses I got from this social experiment. How many of the responses were positive, negative, awkward, right? In the building, and I said it just like that. Hey, Diddy, happy Valentine's Day, man. Valentine's Day.
I do have one question before I answer. Was this upstairs or downstairs or both?
Both.
Okay.
Upstairs and downstairs. Yeah.
Downstairs.
Including a couple of Rise guys.
All right. So I'm going to say downstairs, it was perfectly acceptable and okay. Upstairs, it was probably a little bit awkward.
Okay. You know who gave me the best response was Diddy. Diddy was like, "Hey, man, happy Valentine's Day to you, too." It was hilarious. I was cracking up, right? So like Kristen McCrory is the only person in the building that is in on this little social experiment stunt that I'm doing today. But I said it to five guys. I said it just like that, very warm, somewhat girly. "Hey, man. Hey, Patrick. I wanted to wish you a happy Valentine's today, man. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Hope you have a beautiful day, man. Happy Valentine's Day." Right? So I said it to our boss, Lonzo, Mark Hendricks, and Mark Hendricks looks at me, gives me the eye, and he goes, "Happy VD Day." Our boss wished me happy venereal disease day. That's what he did. He goes, "Do you see what I did there? Happy VD Day." That's what he did. That's what he wished me.
That was hilarious. That is one of the funniest guys in the building. I just have to say, I walk in that office and I just laugh and laugh and laugh.
This ass kissing is brought to you by Mr. Reitzel right here on ESPN Offsides. Okay, so I would say, Lonzo, based on the reaction that I got three warm responses. My warm responses were from Diddy and the two Rise guys. Okay. All of them but Fat Boy. I don't know their names yet. Okay.
Yeah, you probably don't want to do that to Fat Boy.
Yeah, Fat Boy wasn't in the room when I said it to the other two guys. Okay.
If he was, he would have you would have liked the results.
So I got warm responses from three guys, and then two people I kind of got a look that said, "What did you just say to me? What did you say to me?" But the deal was I couldn't reveal what I was doing. Right, I just had to roll with it, you know. So now there's two guys in the building that think I'm a little bit weird because I'm going around wishing everyone a happy males in the office a happy Valentine's Day. If you're listening right now and you're a dude, did you wish any other dude today a happy Valentine's Day other than your 6-year-old son? How did that go?
You know, my son is 25, and I wouldn't wish him a happy Valentine's Day. I'm just sorry. He would look at me like, okay, what are you doing, Dad?
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I got you. So, in any case, those were the results. We had three positive results. Hey, man, thanks, Mark. Happy Valentine's Day to you too, brother. You know? And then two guys that looked at me like, this new guy's kind of weird, man. I don't know. Mark Ryan.
Can I make a recommendation? Next year, if you do something like this, or in the future, if you do something like this.
I'm always doing social experiments.
Let me in on this, and we can find a around the corner kind of camera type thing so we can record this for social media.
I mean, Okay.
That's the fun part.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Can I tell you briefly? This is kind of a kooky Valentine's Day show. Can I tell you briefly two other social experiments that I've done? Would that be okay with you?
It's your show, man.
Okay. So to 10 couples at a bar in Tampa Bay, okay, at like an upscale bar, I was with at the time, my fiance. And I told her, I said, let's do a social experiment. She's like, no, you can't do that. You're going to get your ass kicked. And I said, I'm going to go up to 10 different women that are with their guy. Okay, and I'm going to tell the woman that she looks absolutely beautiful, and you're going to gauge the guy's response. Okay, I'm just going to say, hey, hope you guys are having a great night. I just want to tell you, you look stunningly beautiful to 10 different women that were with guys. Okay, what were the responses to that?
From who? From the women or
Patrick,
the guys?
No, just the response from the crowd, from the women and the men, the couple. What was the response? Let's go with the guy's response, okay? Patrick says all 10 said thumbs down. All 10 gave me a crappy response. True or false, I was worried for my safety at any point during that.
You know what? I don't think you would have did it in the first place if you were worried for your safety.
No, there was one guy that the one guy said, what the bleep did you just say? You know?
What kind of accent did he have?
No,
because I heard a New York accent.
I'm not going to go there. Five guys were very complimentary to me. Okay, four were somewhat put off. It seemed like, and one said, "What the bleep did you just say?" But five of them said, "Hey, man, thank you very much. I take that as a compliment. I really appreciate that." And the girl was really complimented as well. Right. The other thing that I did, because in Tampa, this is a major problem, is there's panhandlers on every single street corner. Right. And I took a class at the University of Florida that showed you all the reasons why you should never give panhandlers money. Right. Because it's actually demeaning to them to give them money on the side of the road. Right. So I always wanted to know how much money those guys made. So one day, Lonzo, I was a panhandler for 2 hours. Okay, I put cork on my face. You know how you can light a cork at the end of a
yeah. See, I was going to say, I know this is Valentine's Day, and I don't want this to come across a certain way, but we've established that you look like a soap opera star. So I'm trying to figure out how you can make yourself look like a panhandler.
So no, I did, man. I wore a ripped up holy shirt that was dirty. Okay, and I lit the end of a cork. Right. And I put cork on my face. And this was when I was in Tampa. Right. And I hadn't shaved planning for this moment. And I stood on the side of the road for 2 hours. OK, with a sign. Anything helps, the sign said. Right. So my question to you is, how much did I receive any money in those 2 hours? And if so, how much money did I get?
Around here, you probably would have got more because people are more giving in this area.
But they shouldn't. Yeah. The point is
shouldn't give. I agree with you there. If you're going to give something to a panhandler, bring them some food, tell them where a shelter is, offer to give them a job, that type of thing. But I'm guessing that you made about $200.
Not even close, Lonzo. I made $35, okay? But I made $35 in 2 hours, which was $17.50 an hour, which equated to $39,000 per year, which is more than a lot of people make in their full-time jobs.
Why the heck do I work here for?
Right. So it's like they're out there because it works. Stop making it work and allow these people to get real jobs. It's demeaning to them. Right? So I made $35 in 2 hours as a panhandler. I donated the money to charity. And I told 12 couples with the guy in earshot that his girlfriend, wife, fiance is stunningly beautiful. Hey, man, you are. Well, I just need to tell you, miss. Excuse me, sir. You are stunningly beautiful. 5 out of 10 viewed it positively, at least outwardly. They viewed it positively. And today I said happy Valentine's Day to 5 dudes in the building, and 3 gave me 3 out of 5, 60%. I knew this was a really nice place. 60% gave me the positive thumbs up, man. You can't really beat that, right? You can't really beat that at all. All right. Coming up next, I promised it and I didn't get to it, and that is really, really poor form. But we have Diddy coming up next, who is going to tell us an embarrassment that's going on right now in the middle of Major League Baseball. All of that and much, much more coming your way right here on Offsides, especially Offsides Today with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Each and every week at this time, my main man Diddy comes up. Usually to talk to me about something baseball related, which I feel like is good for the show because I broke up with baseball about 10 years ago. That doesn't mean we don't talk about it. But in Houston, you know, you had to talk Astros because in Houston, the Astros, honestly, even though on my station we had the Texans, right?
Yeah.
But the Astros are the number one ticket in town in Houston. So I was just like, man, I'm a college football guy. I'm kind of out of place here.
Yeah.
No one here really talks college football. Everybody here talks Astros, Astros, Astros. I grew up, Diddy, collecting every single baseball card. And I don't know, this is probably before your time, but there was something called Beckett Baseball Card Monthly. Yeah. You remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
How old are you?
34.
You're 34. Okay, I got
Almost
you.
35.
So there you go. So Beckett Baseball Card Monthly, I would get that in the mail, man.
Yeah.
And I would literally be waiting at the mailbox the day I thought it was going to come. Mm-hmm. And if it came, I was the happiest kid. And if it wasn't the day that it was coming, I was depressed. And I would race in to see if my cards went up in value.
Yeah.
I mean, I was that guy, man. And baseball lost me somewhere along the way. I think it was a combination of steroids and strikes and not keeping up with the times in terms of, you know, us not having time for 162 games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it lost me somewhere along the way. So anyway, I appreciate you coming on the show and bringing us some baseball most weeks here.
Absolutely. It can never lose me. It has me all the time. So I'm always with baseball. But, you know, this week on the blog, obviously brought up a big issue. The biggest story in baseball this offseason has to be the blatantly obvious one, the fact that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper have not been signed. They are not with teams, the two biggest names coming into the offseason. You also had some other names. I think Dallas Keuchel's still a free agent. You still have Craig Kimbrell, who closed out, you know, the World Series. Well, didn't close out the last game, but closed in the World Series for the Red Sox. Just big names not getting signed. And to me, in this day and age, especially when you look at a league like the NBA, who is dominating the headlines to a point of even on your top little topics here for the last segment, is Pippen talking about LeBron saying the same stupid thing we've heard over and over. We know who does and does not like LeBron. We don't need to keep regurgitating the same story, but they're talking about that and not talking about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in Major League Baseball. And it's an embarrassing look for the league, especially looking at the fact that you're 2 years away from the CBA expiring. You have to have these sit-down talks with the MLBPA, the Players Association, and you're showing the Players Association that even though we have record profits, we're not cutting costs for the fans, so it's not like the fans are getting any kickback on that $11 billion they cleared last year, but we're also not going to open the wallets anymore. And yes, I get it from the fan perspective, which I'm sure is where you're going to go. It's a heck of a lot of money to turn down $300 million.
Sure.
And it is. It's obnoxious. But I think that's obviously a different story as well. I'm not sure he turns down $300 million from a team other than the Nationals. He just was not happy to stay in Washington. But just overall, with the way this is setting up for not only a huge name in Mookie Betts being a free agent coming up, it's setting up for a collective bargaining agreement in which the owners are telling you that we're making record profits, but we don't want to spend it on you. And that could only lead to one thing, and it's what we saw in 94 and what lost fans like you, a player strike, and that's the worst possible scenario for Major League Baseball.
And Diddy, I'll tell you, for years, I criticized Cubs fans, right? Yeah. And I said Cubs fans, in my opinion, are the dumbest fans in sports. Why? Because each and every year, and when I was growing up, the Cubs were awful. Right, they were awful every single year. Each and every year, their fans sold out Wrigley Field every single day, and I'm like, you idiots! You know, if you're the owner of that team, and that your gates are going to be the same whether you win or you lose, do you want $50 million more in your pocket or $50 million less for in terms of what you're investing in the team? You speak to your team with your wallet. And that is why I always feel, Diddy, no matter the sport, whether we're talking about Clemson, South Carolina, Carolina Panthers, Atlanta Falcons, all teams in between, I practice conditional loyalty. I have unconditional loyalty only to my family.
Yeah.
Okay? To any business, to any entity, I have conditional loyalty. To my favorite pizza place in town, you give me a good product, you get my resources. Yeah. You give me even my alma mater. You give me a bad product, you don't get my resources. Yeah. University of Florida, you want some money for basketball tickets? You want me to come down and see a football game? You want me to buy gear? Give me a good product. I am conditionally loyal to you. So I felt baseball's really kind of missed the boat on that. But to your other point about these megastars not being signed, there's something about this that's very refreshing to me. Like I love Bryce Harper having to get his comeuppance and having to see that, hey, maybe my stuff doesn't stink. I thought I was the hottest free agent to hit the market ever in Major League Baseball free agency. Is it a black eye to the league? Yes, but I think it's more embarrassing to guys like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado who thought everyone was going to be clamoring over them, right? And they're not.
Well, yeah, and you have the two things to point out that are pretty obvious with them. The 250 average for Bryce Harper, not good. That's not MVP quality, even though he did have 34 home runs and 100 RBIs on a very underachieving Washington Nationals club last year. Manny Machado talks about not liking hustling, and that's not going to rub fans well at either. So I get the fan perspective of saying, this is, you know, funny, this is what they get, this is how greed works for you. But what I think is being missed is the greed on the other end. The greed of a league making record profits every single season for the past decade, and now all of a sudden, and it started last year when the Red Sox waited until spring training was already underway to get J.D. Martinez under contract. It's all of a sudden time to tighten the wallet and not spend money on the product on the field because of whatever reasons, the luxury tax, you don't like Bryce Harper personally, or whatever it is. It's just such bad look.
But Diddy, here's the other thing. I believe he's had 200 RBI seasons in 8 years. Not good enough.
Fair.
Not good enough. $300 million for what? For what? You know, his batting average sucks 6 out of the 8 years.
Yeah.
And he's got 200 RBI seasons. So I understand the potential. But at 8 years in, brother, I'm not paying for potential. And I think people don't like the price tag associated with that guy. They don't believe that he's worth the price tag. The other thing going on is that the Houston Astros, and you and I talked about this off the air, the Houston Astros, I believe, and I've spoken to our Astros reporter in Houston on this, he tells me, here's why people aren't spending money, because everyone's looking at the Astros model. The Astros didn't win the World Series by doing this. Then you look at the track record of these 10-year mega deals, and it never works out well.
Yeah.
Never works out well. Is there even one mega deal that has worked out well in Major League Baseball that you can think of? Even one off the top of your head, go.
I mean, some of those from the late 90s of the Yankees. I mean, picking up guys, they won 4 or 5 World Series.
I'm talking about, you know, the 10-year, $200 million-plus, those kind of deals.
Manny Ramirez? Well, his was only 150. See, and that's the thing.
Right?
But the thing is, you look at those numbers and you remember that contract for Manny Ramirez is basically, if you take the times and how much money is coming in, the same contract that they're looking at right now, really. It's the $300 million contract. That was that 150 or whatever, 115, I think it was, for Manny Ramirez. $15 million a year at that point in time was unheard of. And that was 2000, 99, I think. So it's something that it comes with the inflation. I think that's why it looks so bad. Not just because, you know, and everybody, especially in this area because of the Braves, hates Bryce Harper as a person for some reason. So I get that it
looks. Why do you think that is?
Because he's cocky, but that's what superstars are. People pick and choose. choose which superstars they like the cockiness of and don't. You know, Kobe's awesome, but everybody hates LeBron.
No, that's an interesting sidebar. Everybody liked Deion Sanders.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And he's the most cocky person probably to ever step foot on any kind of field. So it's the difference is that you do have the stats that kind of back up maybe not paying him the $300 million, but you also have the stats that show when it's on, he's one of the best that can play in this game right now. And to put the product on the field, it's about butts in seats. Names put butts in seats. The NBA has figured that out. The NFL is starting to try to move their way back into being a player's league as much as they can with the owner's pushback, not as much as the NBA. That's something that's looking better for those leagues outwardly, and you're not going to have collective bargaining problems because of those things. Whereas in the MLB, it's going to go into collective bargaining, and it's going to be huge labor problems if they start telling you we're not going to open the wallets for these guys. Because, again, this is more about next year and the year after than it's about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And next year, Mookie Betts has to be signed. And this gives the Red Sox and any other franchise an ability to say, well, you know, the last 2 years, we held out and we got what we wanted. And then these players start turning on the league, and that's when you have another strike. That could kill baseball in this country.
You know, I'll always remember something. You know, you're right. And we were already in a situation where more 12-year-olds list MLS as their favorite sport than Major League Baseball. The lack of African Americans playing baseball is well documented. Yep. Why? Because all of the, in many respects, a lot of these traveling leagues price themselves out of people inside the inner city, right? And that makes it very, very difficult for people to play a sport, right? It's become kind of a sport of exclusivity, right? In many respects. And it wasn't that way when I grew up. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was that way when you grew up. You know, you still see baseball fields around town. Diddy, one of the most impressive things that I've seen since I've been here, and I still even can't believe I saw it, I was driving at like 9:30 at night, and I was right by this, you know where this Northgate soda shop is?
I think so.
You know where that is? There's a baseball field down a hill right to the left of it. It was 39 degrees, and there was a whole bunch of people playing pickup baseball in 39 degrees out there.
Yeah.
And it struck me because it struck me in a positive way, but it also highlighted how much baseball has fallen off because I used to see that every single day.
Exactly.
And I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen that, right? So I was speaking to the owner of the Tampa Bay Rays during my time in Tampa, Stu Sternberg, right? Mm-hmm. And something jumped out to me because everyone in Tampa, they never can afford their players. Mm-hmm. They trade David Price. They trade all these stars. Evan Longoria signs a deal with the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. And so I asked, he's listed as the 13th richest owner in baseball, Stu Sternberg.
Yeah.
Why do the Rays have the bottom payroll if he's the 13th richest owner in baseball? So I asked him that directly. I said, Stu, you are the 13th wealthiest owner in baseball. Why is it that the Rays have the lowest payroll? He said, do you want top payroll? Give me top attendance. Do you want middle of the pack payroll? Give me middle of the pack attendance. If you want last payroll, give me last attendance. Mm. He puts it back on the onus of the fans.
Exactly.
Right? And so he says, it's on you. And so in this whole chicken and egg argument of who comes first, the fans are saying, screw you, man.
Exactly.
You're the chicken that comes first. You're the chicken that comes first. And he's saying, no, you are.
Yeah.
Show me the money and I'll return it to you. How do you assess something like that from ownership?
I think that's what's really playing into this as well. And it's made it really difficult for fans of the lower half of the league. You see the Tampa Bay Rays, they actually have top half of the league television viewership.
Yep.
They have great TV audience.
They've been top 10 a few years.
Yeah, but nobody goes to the Trop because, A, it's impossible to get out there. It's just horrible to get out to St. Pete if you're coming from the Tampa side.
I've got to be honest with you. I live there, not really.
From Orlando, it took me like twice as long to get from Orlando to Tampa than it took
rush
from Tampa
hour,
down there.
Rush hour over the Howard Franklin Bridge is brutal, but it's really not that bad. There's something about a body of water. A body of water separates. It divides people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, people don't like people on another side of other body of water. It's the strangest parochial thing you'll ever see, really. All of this to me, though, we have revenue sharing, but it's still not making a big enough difference.
No.
And it's an old argument. I get it may be lazy, but I still hope someday we have a salary cap, Diddy. Can we ever get a salary cap here?
Some kind of salary limitations, maybe. And that's fine. If you work towards that, that has to be something, though, that is collectively bargained. And what owners have already done up to this point is say that they're willing to give you whatever you want until all of a sudden when they're making $11 billion a year in the league. And that's, I think, what the big issue is. It's so much more money coming in the last 10 years that they haven't seen in a while, which shows that this league does have life, has the ability to continue on for the long haul. But now they're starting to tell players and fans that they don't care, because the big thing, like you said, with the luxury tax, the lower market teams aren't going to get any money if the upper market teams stop paying the players and to avoid the luxury cap. You've seen the Yankees fall below it already over the last couple of years, and that comes into play with guys like Machado and Harper and Kimbrel. Kimbrel, who definitely deserves some money for what he's accomplished. You don't pay them, your salary doesn't get in the luxury tax, the lower market teams can't buy better players, and it just is a perpetual cycle of what we've seen.
When we grew up, baseball was right there with the NFL. And since that time, I mean, baseball at one point was even a little bit higher than the NFL. And since that time, not only has football soared past baseball, so has the NBA. When was a turning point for the NBA? David Stern was a big part of it, but also when they enacted a salary cap. You know, in the mid-90s, Juwan Howard was getting $100 million in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this is crazy. And they made a new era where a team like Milwaukee could land a Giannis Antetokounmpo and compete with the big market teams. And I really think that's what baseball needs to do. You want to get one call here on the segment with Diddy? Bill is up next. Bill, thanks so much for the call. You're on with Diddy and Mark. You're offsides. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Really, conversation or questions is for Diddy. I feel like, you know, I'm in my 40s and I grew up like you guys. Baseball was a sort of a big thing. I think when we cleaned up baseball, it hurt it. I think we wanted baseball clean, but when we did, it sort of exposed everyone's childhood heroes, and I think that hurt. I was a Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds fan. Well, that knocked them out of the Hall of Fame, and I understand they cheated, but everyone did. In America, do we really want our sports clean? Okay. And then the second thing is, the Sandlots are gone. I think culture has changed. It used to, you know, in neighborhoods I grew up in, you would go grab your bat and glove and ball and go run around the neighborhood, get your friends, and you'd go play baseball. But I think baseball sort of is hard to do that. Kids aren't as friendly now with, you know, with social media and video games. So when kids get outside now, there's only like five. So what you do is play 2-on-2 basketball. You can't really get a baseball game going, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that another thing, and the last thing, is I think it has become, you said it, it's become a travel ball culture, and you do have to have money to play baseball now. Baseball bats are $380. $380 for a good baseball bat. A good baseball glove is $150. And the travel teams are most of the time in this country rich white kids. And that's what you're seeing in high school baseball. It's the upper echelon of people that can afford to travel. So if you can't afford that, then I think this has a lot to do with baseball. I think that it has just become almost like golf. It is like a privatized sport for the privileged. Just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah,
thanks for the call, Bill.
Yeah, I think he makes some good points on that as well. And like you said, it's the travel ball costs so much money. It's far cheaper to put your kids into soccer. It's far cheaper for kids to play pickup basketball. But the big thing I think he pointed out is when we were kids, and I was a kid in the 90s, we'd go around knocking on doors, finding somebody to, you know, start forming at least something of a team so we could go out and play some baseball or some kind of form of baseball at the park. Now I don't think parents even let their kids go out and knock on other people's doors anymore. So, you know, there's a lot of that kind of shelteredness and maybe fear in society that has caused less kind of availability. I ran free in the woods like nothing when I was a little kid. There's no way in heck any of these parents today would let their kids do that, especially in the world we live in. So I think that hurts it too. And
these days you knock on the door, they come to the door with a gun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So as you know, and that definitely was never an issue when I was little. So it's changed a lot. And the steroids I think hurt, but I think people, like he pointed out that too, it was a better game. Nobody was really caring, even though it was pretty obvious what was going on in 98. They didn't care until Bud Selig all of a sudden cared, and now we had to clean up the game, and that did put a stain on the game and lose a lot of fans, so that hurt.
Diddy, always great stuff on baseball, man. We really appreciate you, brother. Thanks so much for stopping by, man.
Thank you.
All right, and check out his blog on ESPNUpstate.com. Always really, really, really good stuff. All right, coming up, we're going to do a little Diddy we call either or. I just said little Diddy. You see what I did there?
I'm a big Diddy.
Yeah, there you go. A little Diddy we call either or, where we give you two choices on life and sports, and you pick one. That is next. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It's time to get to a little ditty we call either or, which starts right now.
Okay, this should be fun today because Patrick Brown was in and was training. I had to show him how to run this show. He runs everything in the building, so he knows our, but there are a few quirks that Mark likes, and you know, you got to get used to that sort of thing. So he suggested this, and I'm going to throw this out there. Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless? Who you got? If you got to pick between the two, who do you side on? I'm pretty sure I know where you're going. So I'm going to be interested to see where you go. I'll go first, though, because I'm going to go with Stephen A. Smith. I know sometimes he has no idea what he's talking about, which I kind of find it entertaining. That makes him human. But he's always passionate. He's high energy. And Skip Bayless is just a snot.
Skip Bayless is a snot. That is 100% true. When you follow zero people on Twitter, it just shows that you don't care what anyone else has to say. The only person whose voice you values is your own. He is absolutely a snot, but he's a $6 million a year earning snot for Fox Sports. And I'm going to go with Skip Bayless over Screamin' A. Smith. Do you hear what I called him? Screamin' A. Smith. Here's the thing, Lonzo. You cannot act like you have a big opinion about anything. You should only have a big opinion about something that you're knowledgeable about. And over the last month, he has been completely exposed to the point that now everyone's parsing every single word he says. Last week, he just said that Dwayne Haskins is more of a runner than a passer, and he rushed for 1.5 yards a carry at Ohio State. What that does and what that looks like to the rest of the population is it screams shock jock, right? What is a shock jock? Some people think I'm a shock jock, but you know why I'm not? Because everything that I'm saying, I believe. A shock jock fabricates big opinions to get a reaction out of you, right? That's what a shock jock is. That's what he's all about. That's what Stephen A. Smith looks like right now, because he's got all these big opinions and none of them are researched and none of them are educated. All right. And therefore, right now, Stephen A. Smith, until he gets himself more educated, is a waste of time. Skip Bayless says some outlandish things, but they're always researched. I always feel like he's done his homework on his big opinion. So give me Bayless. All right. Perhaps a very interesting quandary for Clemson basketball or South Carolina basketball. Winning the NIT or losing in the first round of the March Madness of the NCAA tournament, which would you rather do? Which is better for your program?
Oh, you'd rather go out in the first round of the NCAA tournament than win the NIT. Because, I mean, you're proving you are the, what, how many teams get in now? 64?
68.
68. So you're proving you're the 69th best team if you win the NIT. So you're good enough to win the NIT, but you're not quite good enough to even make it into the last slot. You can't even get an at-large bid, whatever, to the NCAA tournament. So you'd rather go out in the first round.
In fairness, it's not really the 69 best teams. 34 teams get an automatic bid. So you've got to be one of the best 34 remaining teams, right? So you've almost got to be a top 25 team to ensure that you get into the dance, right? So that said, you're completely right, Lonzo. Winning the not-in tournament, otherwise known as the NIT, is no good. It's no good. And I would rather go out in the first round, because then I can say to the recruits, we're a tournament team. We're a tournament-winning team. Brad Brownell is not I said that right. Brownell.
Yeah.
Yes, there we go.
Perfect. That's the first time you said it. Absolutely correct.
He's not getting the job done. Not getting the job done at Clemson. 573 winning percentage overall. He's under 500 in league play. He has made two NCAA appearances in 8 years at Clemson. Not good enough. Not with the resources that Clemson has. Not good enough. And I get it. Clemson is a football school. Texas is a football school. Shaka Smart's having a hard time winning consistently at Texas. But you know what? So was Florida. And Billy Donovan went there and won back-to-back national championships. Expect more, deserve more. If two NCAA appearances in 8 years is good enough for you. Clemson, you have the right head coach. If it's not, you need a different one. Okay? And here's the thing. Brad Brownell has three different stops in his coaching career. He has a 700 winning percentage. 700 is great, right? 700 winning percentage, winning 70% of your games or more. He has a 700 winning percentage at none of his stops. None. 675 at UNC Wilmington, 651 at Wright State, and 573 at Clemson. He's had enough time. He's not getting it done. It's time, if you're serious about basketball, Clemson, and we'll see how serious you are, to make a change there. You can't go to Miami in a must-win game and then crap the bed. You just can't do that. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, Sunday is a big sports night. Did you know that? Sunday is a very big sports
night. You have the NBA All-Star Game.
You do.
Do you have the Daytona 500 as well?
I don't know about that, but I don't consider that a sport. So you have the NBA All-Star Game. You have a UFC fight night on ESPN, Cain Velasquez versus Francis Ngannou. And you have Elimination Chamber in WWE. Which one you got? Which one are you watching?
You know, I've thought really long and hard about this. I'm going to go with the Elimination Chamber.
That's funny.
I'm going to go with the Elimination Chamber. You piqued my interest, Lonzo, the other day.
It's opposite day.
You piqued my interest, and on this Valentine's Day weekend, I'm going to be watching the Elimination Chamber on Sunday night. How about you?
You know, you just threw me. But, you know, because you possibly could. You can come over to my house and watch it if you want.
There you go.
Because I have network. It's only $9.99 a month. Actually, I am going to watch Elimination Chamber. If that wasn't on, though, I would go with UFC Fight Night, because I'd rather watch people punch each other, even if their names I don't know. They're hungry. They want to get up there. They want to make the payday. It's going to be entertaining. The NBA All-Star Game is not going to be very entertaining. So,
there
definitely
you go.
Not.
All right, either or. I emailed a coworker an emoji the other day. I did. I emailed a coworker an emoji. They sent me a quick email, and you know, you ever get those emails that's like you don't have to reply to, and you're like, do I reply or do I not reply? You know, if somebody says, you know, hey Mark, you know, thanks, we'll see you then, something like that. Do you hit reply or do you just let it be? And sometimes you don't know. So, like, this particular coworker is a dude that works here at this station, and he sent me a kind email the other day. He had some ideas for the show that were pretty good, and I hit him back with a smiley emoji, okay? So you're sending an emoji to a dude at work, all right, via email. Is that onsides or offsides? What do you think, Lonzo?
Well, if I were that guy, I would be disturbed by such a thing. I mean, because... from what I've heard about the email, that's all it was just that little emoji. I didn't even know you could email emojis until now when that person told me about it. And that's weird, man. It's weird.
There you go. It's absolutely weird. Well,
the only email that you have to answer is an email from the boss. Because if you don't, he will send you follow-up emails going, why didn't you answer?
I'm going to hit the boss with a smile emoji email.
After your Valentine's Day question, you go for it.
How about that?
What kind of emoji are you sending?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to send him a frowny face.
No, send him a broken heart.
There you go. We're going to send the boss man a broken heart. All right. Coming up next, reality bites for one NBA team, and here's why. You're listening to Offsides. My name is Mark Ryan, right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys on a Friday Eve edition of the show. Happy Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there. So I've said that reality bites for one NBA team, and that NBA team is, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers. Tom Haberstroh, a big-time reporter for ESPN, says the following about Anthony Davis's future. I think it's Boston. The New Orleans Pelicans, if they really liked the Lakers deal, they would have done it. I think they might be holding out for finding out who gets the top picks in May at the draft lottery. That's going to be a big game changer for the New Orleans Pelicans and Anthony Davis. But also, Boston's going to be able to put Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the table July 1st. And I think that's the thing. I would take both of those guys over any of the guys in L.A. Now, what about Lonzo Ball? Haberstroh says, I think Lonzo has a lot of potential. I really like him. I'm probably higher on him than most people, but he needs to figure out the free throw line where he's shooting 40% right now. Brandon Ingram has no three-point shot to speak of, and Kyle Kuzma's barely shooting 30% from downtown. Solid young players, but none of them are projecting to be an all-star like Jason Tatum, who averaged almost 30 points a game in the series against Philadelphia as a teenager. That guy has really high talent. Haberstroh also predicts that Kevin Durant is going to sign with the Knicks this offseason. That would shock me. That would just be a big market play, right? Because, you know, what are the Knicks going to do to help Kevin Durant win? But then again, maybe Kevin Durant doesn't need to win right now, right? I mean, maybe he's got all the winning out of his system. Incredible to consider, really. But, I mean, you look at this and, you know, in 2016, the Lakers selected Brandon Ingram over Jaylen Brown. Big mistake, right? Big mistake. In 2015, they selected D'Angelo Russell, no longer on the freaking team, right? Really kind of an embarrassment for this team. You know, they took D'Angelo Russell over Kristaps Porzingis in that draft, for crying out loud, over the likes of Miles Turner. Who's leading the NBA in blocks right now, right? So it's really unfortunate what happened to them. And then in the 2017 draft, the Lakers, the 76ers get all the blame for taking Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum. The Lakers took Lonzo Ball over Jason Tatum. Had they selected Jason Tatum, they would now have the pieces to go get Anthony Davis. So the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lakers can't trade for Anthony Davis is a fault of no one but their own. Magic Johnson should look at himself in the mirror. Instead of talking down to his players that they're men and they can handle the trade talk, how about you actually do a better job drafting? You had Jason Tatum right there. You took Lonzo Ball instead. And now New Orleans is waiting to get Jason Tatum from Boston. You had the deal done. You blew it. You've drafted nothing but B and C players with great picks in the draft. D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, when much better players were available. Give me a break, man. The onus falls on you, Magic, and you, Magic, and you alone are at fault here. All right, coming up next, it's a top three at three. Some amazingly harsh audio about LeBron coming from one of the 50 greatest players of all time. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.